What's going on, guys? You are listening to the next installment of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and today's episode, we're going to be talking about what actually is couples counseling, and hopefully walk away with some idea of what it is, on how it could be helpful, and maybe if it's something that you need to consider. The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used to diagnose, treat, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, and/or qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and/or mental illness. Hey Kim, welcome back to the show. I'm excited that you're here. I know it's been super hot, like crazy hot. And hopefully we're going to be getting some clouds this next week, but maybe for like a little bit. Hopefully it stays a little while longer, but I'm so glad that you're here. I wanted to introduce the topic today. A lot of people have been asking me about what do I do? Like, what is couples counseling and how do I even, you know, navigate that with people that I don't even know? And so what I wanted to do was to pitch this to you and see what you would think. I mean, you've been doing this for a few years and you're kind of like the relationship Yoda around here. So I'm just saying, I would love for you to just kind of start us off in and kind of bridge the gap for people to understand what is couples counseling, what is it not, and how people kind of walk into this idea of working on their marriage.
I guess I'm supposed to answer that one. Yeah. What does it look like? I think a lot of people are afraid of it because I think I hear a lot of men in particular express this concern that they're going to come and get beat up on by their therapist and their wife. But I think both parties worry a lot about coming in and appearing to be the one who's less of a problem, right? Like, so they want the therapist on their side, and they at the same time worry that they're going to get just ganged up on. So I think this is a great topic to cover because, you know, it's intimidating. It's, if it's not something that you've done, you know, individual right. therapy is a very safe space where you come in and you bond with your therapist and you open up all your stuff if you want, you know, and couples is different and you might not feel safe because maybe it's a relationship where there's not any trust or there's been a betrayal or, you know, I'm not particularly feeling very engaged with my partner. So showing up in a room with a therapist is intimidating.
Yeah.
And two, if you've done something, you know, if you've had an affair, like that's going to be fun, right? Let's sit and talk about that.
Yeah. Like no one wants to run towards topics like that immediately, right?
Yeah. All
the stuff you've done. So, you know, one of the things that I learned from you early on is if we are doing our jobs well, then every partner at some point in any session is probably going to be feeling like they're picked on. And that's because we're trying to either call out bad behavior or challenge unhelpful and negative thoughts that are impacting the relationship in a negative way.
Yes. And I will tell you, though, sometimes we do take sides.
Talk more about that.
I know, right? Like, even as I say it, I'm like, do I want to give that ninja secret away? So, you know, sometimes one or both in different ways are putting some real toxic energy into the relationship. And so at that point, I might go after that one just a little bit, but I don't do it in a way that's, it's not taking sides as in she's right, you're wrong, he's right, you're wrong. You know, it's in the, this is what's best for the marriage. Let's get this, you know, let's get this worked out.
Yeah.
And that might mean having to point it out.
Yeah.
See, this is where couples therapy is so nuanced, right? So individual therapists have it so easy because they do because they're dealing with one person in the room, not two.
Right.
And you are always on your client's side, even if your client is acting in ways that are destructive. You know, they feel very aligned with you.
Yeah.
And in couples work, it's hard because if you're not careful, it's really easy for one to feel like they're being picked on. So you have to have a lot of finesse in the way that you approach things, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes you do have to be harder on one in a particular moment than the other. But if they're in there, they both get their time in the limelight for sure. In the spotlight for sure. Yeah.
Everyone gets their solo.
Everyone gets their solo. Yeah. Because I'm not there to be, I'm not there to be their friend. I'm there to help them. And sometimes we want what we don't need and we need what we don't want. Mm. And so that's the role of the therapist, is to help you get what you need and be able to receive it in a way that is, that you can hear it. It's feedback that you can receive and do and work with and do something with. So that's our job.
What that reminds me of is that, you know, I've heard that marriages are, you know, designed for lots of things, but then also, you know, marriages function as a mirror to who you are, right? Like the marriage that you are participating in, that you're involved in, that you're making memories in, because it's so close and so intimate, then the closer that you are to somebody, the closer that they're able to see not just the good things, but all the bad things, all the unhelpful things, all the things that we struggle with. And so it's like the closer you are to the mirror, the closer you really are to yourself.
Stan Tatkin says something that I really like. He says, there's no saint and no sinner. And so, meaning, I'm not here to find out which one of you is the good one and which one of you is the bad one.
I like that.
Yeah. Right. And so that's the approach I try to take with all my clients. And so the first session, I think, is the hardest for people to get past, to actually come in.
Yeah.
Right. Like that first session. And some cultures have much different ideas about it's harder for some cultures to come in and do therapy than others. And so, this might be messaging from family, from the community you grew up in, that kind of thing. So you might be fighting a lot of those stereotypes, right?
Yeah.
And so just getting into that first session. And so what does a first couple session look like? Well, I tend to only do a minimum of 80 minutes for the first session. I like 2 hours to start, but I will do 80 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's where I want to get the story. Like, who are they? What drew them to each other? What started to go wrong when? When did it start to go wrong?
Yeah.
From both of their points of view.
I mean, 80 minutes can sound kind of intimidating to a lot of people. And they're probably coming into the session, man, can I talk 80 minutes about how we got together?
Nah. Some people work in that format. It just depends on, you know, it depends on a lot of things. It depends on your therapist and their style. It depends on how much time you have to put into it and investment money, because, you know, longer sessions are more money. But I like to get in and get deep, and it's hard to do that in a 50-minute drive-by.
Yeah.
You know, like in and out. And so, I mean, that's why we do intensives too. Like, I'll do a 2-day intensive with couples where they fly in and I have 2 full days with them, mm-hmm. because you get so much momentum.
That absolutely makes sense.
Yeah.
I do have a question though. I've had a pretty good number of times, you know, couples coming in, and the way that they come in and start off is if my partner could just do blank, then we wouldn't be blank. Right? It's almost like a shift blame. Could you give your thoughts on couples that come in with that type of affect?
Well, when somebody says, if my partner would just, I mean, I've literally had them sit down and say, let's just be real. It's not me. It's them. I'm like, this is going to be fun. Yeah. And so, and even if they don't say it, a lot of them are thinking it, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I try to help them figure out is, are they approaching their partner in the best way that allows their partner to give them what they want. See, most of us want to please our partners. Mm-hmm. Most of us want to be in a relationship where we're both satisfied and happy. And so it's kind of quid pro quo. Am I getting what I want from you, which will enable me to give you what you want from me?
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of boils down to that.
Yeah.
Not very sexy or romantic, but it kind of does, you know, it kind of boils down to that. And so, for instance, the guy that I want more sex, I don't have enough sex in my marriage. And the wife that comes in and says, I want more connection in mine, and they're at a stalemate.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So where do you go with that? Well, you're going to look at her and say, just have sex, whether you feel like it or not. And you're going to look at him and say, just connect, whether you feel like it or not. Right?
I don't see that going very well.
They're not going to think that. Yeah. And so it's like, what is it your partner? I'll ask each of them. What is it that your partner's wanting most from you? Do you even know? I want to know if you know. Like, I'll ask them something like, what are the top three complaints your partner has about you? Do you even know that?
Mm.
And what are the top three things your partner wants from you that they're not getting? And so if they know, then I'm real curious. I'm like, why aren't you giving it?
Hmm.
Why aren't you giving it? And some interesting answers can come at that point.
So it sounds like couples therapy is not bringing your partner in so that you can get them fixed.
Please don't bring your partner to be fixed.
It's more so thinking and looking at how we are each contributing to the negative cycle or some of the pain points in our relationship.
Yes. Yes, getting a deeper look.
I mean, that's like some of the biggest, you know, and most important work that we can do is help each partner understand that we are only in charge of what we can do and we're not responsible for controlling our partner. Like, even though we wish that we could just help our partners do something in hopes that, you know, this is going to change, but really, all that we can do is worry about ourselves. So how do we help people move from looking at their partner and seeing them as the problem and helping them see internally the specific ways that they're contributing to negative pain cycles in their relationship?
You have influence on your partner, but you can't make your partner change. Right? You have influence, though. And so the problem is most of us try to influence in really unhealthy ways. We demand, you better not, you know,
yeah.
Don't you dare do that. We threaten, if you do that, then I'm going to do this, right? Yeah. We punish. Oh, you did that. Well, now I'm not going to talk to you for a couple of weeks and we'll see how you like that. You know,
wow.
Or I'm going to spend all the money, you know, because you went and did this. So now I'm going to go spend a lot of money, you know. So those are the ways that we try to influence our partners by controlling or manipulating to get what we want because we didn't learn a better way.
Yeah.
Right. It's easy to get into old unhelpful cycles and patterns that way. And so it's learning how to be a expert in your partner, but you have to get some serious skills. Like, it's not rocket science, but it does require some skills.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the beginning, it's easy because as we've said before, the first part of marriage or relationships is all about all the ways you're alike and you don't think about how you're different. Well, when those differences come, then what? Well, that's when we threaten and we demand and we criticize and we blame and we shame and we do all these things to try to get our partner to give us what we want.
Right.
Well, in the beginning, we were playful and we used humor and we cajoled and coaxed and flirted and made it easier for our partner to give us what we wanted.
Yeah.
Right. And we lose that. We lose that when we get stuck in negative cycles and we start arguing more. And so that's where some skills come in. So how do I learn how to influence my partner that gives me more power, not less? Right? More power, not less.
that would help us influence our partner in healthy ways?
So skills like, you know, people talk about communication. Well, there really is something about how we communicate to our partner. If you use blame, if you use criticism, if you use threats, right? Nobody likes to be controlled. No adult likes to be told what they're going to do and what they can't do. And so your partner's going to resist that. And so learning how to come in soft, slide in there softly.
Yeah.
Right. And to get what we want. And so again, it's that whole atmosphere that we talked about last time. We talked about, you know, you and your partner create the environment that the relationship lives and breathes in. And so if there's a lot of anger, a lot of resentment, and a lot of that stuff going on, you know, it breeds a lot of discontent. And so that's just, you know, a recipe for a disastrous tug and pull, you know, right, where we're just tugging against each other to get, for everybody to get what they want. And so that's not very conducive to coupleship.
Right. Yeah. So just so that I am tracking with you, what I hear you say is that couples therapy is not necessarily looking at your partner in all the wrong or bad things that they're contributing, but it's really the work of identifying what you are bringing to the table. And for a lot of people, though they look on the outside, they look externally and say, man, my partner's doing all these things, the real work starts with us and say, man, what am I bringing to the table here? Whenever you say want and getting what we want, I think a few of our listeners might mm-hmm. sense a bit of control in that. So I'm wondering if you can maybe elaborate, kind of explain, what do you mean by getting what we want?
Getting what we want. I mean, we have wants and we have needs, and what makes you selfish is if that's your sole focus. And if you're wanting something, so anything that you get, two things, anything that you get that's not good for the relationship is not going to be good for you.
Ooh, can you say that again?
So I want a trip to Europe and money's tight, but I want what I want. Right. So I'm going to push or demand or even ask nicely or, you know, use all the skills and tools for correct communication, but I'm right. not okay with not getting what I want. Right. I'm going to get what I want. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. that is not good for the relationship.
So it's not good for you.
So it's not good for you. And that's something, you know, your expectations have to be in line and you have to be in a healthy place. If you cannot hear no in a relationship, you're going to have a hard, hard, hard time.
Hmm.
You have to be able to hear no when you're in a partnership. It sucks. I hate hearing no. I hate it. but sometimes I have to hear no.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, my husband has to hear no. So the other thing is if one of you wins, you both lose. And so oftentimes when you're at a stalemate, somebody's going to get what they want and the other one is not going to get what they want. And there's not a big enough bank account for that to happen very often.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you have to learn the art of negotiation so that you both feel like you're winning something.
Yeah.
And it can be done. It's not that hard or unusual. It just takes some time and it's not a quick, it's going to be my way or the highway attitude.
Yeah.
In a lot of relationships, there is a power dynamic between, you know, there's usually, not usually, often, there's somebody who doesn't have to, like one person who can go spend $1,000 and the other one has to talk about it before they spend $100.
Mm.
There's a power difference. One who can go buy a car and not mention it to the other one, and the other one who better not.
Yeah.
And so then you've got a power dynamic. But you realize we started this with what is couples therapy looks like, and we've gone into like all this. We've gone into all these other nuances about it. And so what couples therapy looks like, I do think that's important and we ought to go back to it, is it looks like two people coming in and defining goals. So I want to know what your goals are. Like where are your pain points and what would make you you know, what kind of relationship do you want to build? And I want to make sure they're both have the same blueprint. Do you both want the same thing?
Yeah.
And if they do, and they oftentimes say they do, you know, they'll have the, they'll be like, yeah, that's what I want too. And then we get into it and that might not always be true, but we'll look deeper into that to find out why they're not able to partner up together to have that. But I'll tell you what it doesn't look like. What couples therapy does not look like.
Okay.
What I don't want it to look like. Sometimes it goes there and I have to like grab a bag of popcorn and either, you know, watch the show that's happening in front of me or I have to end it. But is when they come in and it's just constant shame, blame, shifting, fighting, and they're just letting each other have it. And they have the attitude that they're going to come and sit in front of the mediator, the judge, the therapist judge, who's going to weigh in on who's right and who's wrong. No, we're not going to do that. That's a waste of time. And you can do that at home for free.
definitely, true.
You can do that at home for free. So that's not what it looks like.
A couple comes in and they look at me, they look at their partner and said, hey, man, it's not me, it's them. They're the reason why I'm here.
And see, that's when I might have to put one in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Like that would be you that I would be looking at directly on my couch and having to deal with.
Yeah.
because you're not able to hold yourself accountable.
Right. So it's not being on someone's team per se, but it's more like spotlighting. Like it's your time to shine.
Yeah, it's your time to shine. Yeah, whether you're ready or not, we're gonna let you shine today.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's not just coming in and blaming. It's not coming in and getting your way. What else is it not?
It's not coming in with the disaster fight of the week every week where you're just, I had a client one time that said, I don't want to just show up and throw up. And I'm like, yeah, that would be good. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
Right. But sometimes, honestly, a couple is so, we call them hot couples. They're so volatile, so easily eruptive.
Yeah.
It really slows the therapy process down because you're spending your time teaching them how to regulate their emotions so that they can have a conversation. And occasionally I have had couples who cannot do that at all. And I've had to separate them. I'm like, you know, couples therapy, I'd like to do with both of you in the room, but if we have to, we'll do it separately.
Really?
Because I'm not going to sit. Yes. I can't let them sit there and curse each other and call each other names the entire time they're on my sofa.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, that can't happen. So we'll either do it together and we'll play nice or we'll do it apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they just have to learn how to regulate.
That's so good. Awesome. Well, Kim, let me just ask one last question for our audience before we leave today. What makes couples therapy successful? And in your opinion, when is it not?
You know, I think I've mentioned this before too, but like I'll have a couple come in and they are a tangled up mess. Like there's so many threads and things are just, they're just gridlocked in a lot of different areas and have been for so long. And I think, oh my goodness, like this is going to be a lot of work and things will just go very quickly and smoothly and they make great progress. And then I'll have a couple come in and I think, oh, this is easy peasy, right? Like, this is going to be nothing. And they will like just dig their heels in and not shift at all. And so that is so frustrating to be the therapist in that situation. And so the difference is the motivation of the couple to one, do the work and to see their own part in it.
Mm.
That's the difference in a successful couples therapy and one that isn't. So if you come in and you're totally invested on it being your partner's fault and they're the ones that have to change, probably going to be a difficult road.
That's a really good observation. Yeah.
Probably going to take some time. But if you show up and it's like, show me how to be better. Teach me how to do this differently. I need to learn how to do this better.
Yeah.
I want to show up. And I try to tell people, it's like, are you showing up as your best self? Are you proud of how you're showing up, regardless of what your partner's doing over here? Like, yes, there's bad behavior over here, but let's talk about your behavior. Are you proud of who you are in this relationship?
Wow.
And most of the time they're not. And so then I'm like, let's work on that. Let's deal with that part right there. And if they're able to do that and willing to do that, therapy just tracks on.
That's so good and really true. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. In this episode, we cover the topics of couples counseling, what it is, what it's not, and really the most important takeaway of today is really the work of couples relationships starts within ourselves. Whenever we go to couples therapy, we tend to look at our partner and say, man, look at all the things that you're doing wrong. But what we gain perspective of today is maybe we can look inside and see what we're contributing to the environment of our relationship. All right, guys, we got to run, but we'll see you on another episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast. I'm your co-host, John Bautista. I'll see you guys next time. Peace.